Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening. Welcome once again to another edition of Sunday Night, the Ron Eagle's Nest Broadcasting System. Wow, we've had quite a week. I've been on vacation this week. Been very interesting as far as a vacation goes. If you like everything breaking on you, well, that's one of those. Went out for a round of golf. You know, about 6 years old, probably seen downs pretty brittle. Soles just ripped right off. I must have twisted hard on something. I don't know what I did, but it twisted right off. We went to barbecue. Memorial Day weekend, yeah. Let's get out and barbecue. Especially here in Texas, you got to step over that barbecue rib. Okay. All right, Vince. Put away that introduction. Okay. Yeah, Vince did write that introduction we had on the other show. No, I don't step over fire ant mounds and eat barbecue ribs all the time. I usually barbecue hamburgers when I barbecue. Okay. Well, that being the point, when we did the barbecue, did a propane barbecue. Didn't do charcoal this time, but I did propane. And propane tank didn't catch on fire. Yeah, you haven't lived till you've done that. Went to go try to put it out, put some water on it. Nope, didn't work. Went to reach in, couldn't get reach. To grab it, going to burn myself. So I called the fire department. They came out. Somebody had a fireproof glove that they put it right out with. But had a nice little leak in it. Tore up my regulator hose. And so not a pretty sight. So I've got a lot of fixing up to do before I do propane again. So we'll get back on that issue, but we're not going to do that. One of the interesting things we did do this week was we went over to Kilgore, Texas. If you're ever in the Kilgore, Texas area, two things you got to see. Number one, you got to go see the East Texas Oil Museum in Kilgore. That's right downtown, not downtown, but that's at Kilgore College. Can't miss it if you're going through on the business 259 through the middle of town. You take the regular 259, it takes you around town, you miss everything. Okay, don't do that. Come on into town on 259. Coming in from the south, it'll be on your left. Coming in from the north, be on your right. As you get to the Kilgore College area, you'll see a crosswalk going over the street. It's right there. So you want to see that, but I'm gonna go take my kids there this week, and we're gonna take a look at it. The other thing we did was we went to the Texas Museum of Broadcasting. Now I never knew anybody had done anything like this. Now I did see about a year or so ago somebody had actually done it, and they took one of the old car dealerships that no longer is downtown. You know, it's in the downtown area, so just go downtown, ask for where the museum is. Somebody will point you to it. But went in there, and it was one of the most museums I have ever been in. Now, when I was about seven, no, I wasn't seven. When I was in fifth grade, I've been 9 years old. I went to Shreveport, and we performed for a television show called John's Place, and it was a 30-minute show on Sunday morning on the local TV set up. We walked in there. Sure enough, they had all those cameras. They had some cameras that you wouldn't believe. One, the first color camera for TV, 300 pounds. It was considered portable. Yeah. try putting that on your shoulder, guys. They have all kinds of shoulder cameras, all kinds of tripod cameras, studio-type cameras. Yeah, just about every camera you can think of. They had a mock-up of a local news station. The green screen back there, so you could stand in front of that green screen and do the weather. Yeah, you watch yourself on the monitor. You can see, you look behind you, that screen's green, but you look at the monitor and you see a weather map back there. Just look at the monitor and point somewhere and say, tell them it's 58 degrees in Des Moines, okay? It was one of those kind of maps. And then there was a news desk over there with a microphone, and just a fascinating tour. So had a camera that was there for the JFK assassination. There was the van that they had filmed the assassination of Oswald in was there. Fascinating. So yeah, they showed you pictures of how they all those stuff worked. They had phonographs and whatever. One of the fascinating things was they had a mock-up of a talk radio station there, and we sat there with the microphones going, pretend like we're doing our radio show. I'm thinking, yeah, one of these nights I'm going to go record my radio show down there in that studio. That would be fun. That would be absolutely fun. The guy owns a local radio station, actually two local radio stations, both plays music. I told him I'd listen to his radio station during the football games, but that's about it. But, yeah, it was fascinating. So if you ever are in Kilgore, go see that. All right. Well, what's going on in the world? Donald Trump's in the Middle East. What's new about that? What's new about that is nothing's old. Scary, scary proposition. He is in there saying the same things that Bush said, that Obama said, state solution. And if you want a fascinating critique on that, John Haller was there during that whole thing, and some of his comments, I would love to reiterate them, but first of all, I don't have time to reiterate what he said, but he does such a much better job on his YouTube video. You just need to go watch his YouTube video, okay? But Obama never mentioned Israel. Talked about Jerusalem, but that was not Israel. We're talking about making Jerusalem an international city. Actually, the whole idea of an international city for Jerusalem goes all the way back to the Bar Kokhba Rebellion. Because after the Bar Kokhba Rebellion, the Romans banned all Jews from Jerusalem. They figured that was the root cause of all problems. The Jews had Jerusalem, so they didn't let them have it. Yeah, there's been a continual Jewish presence in Jerusalem, but there's been a lot of problems. Trump visited the Wailing Wall without an Israeli official. That's never been done before. Of course, he started off in Saudi Arabia. He had some pretty good things to say in a soundbite, but you listen to the whole thing in context, I'm like, saying the same thing Bush did. But, the Saudis need to pay attention to what he said about terrorists need to pay attention to what he said about it. You perform terrorists, you're condemning your soul to hell, which is totally opposite of what they're being taught in their meeting place. Forgot the word right off for it, but their mosque. Okay, they're being told that they'll commit jihad, commit harakiri, whatever you want to call it. They get themselves blown up. They'll get 70 virgins. Nope. Not going to happen. You're going to condemn your soul to hell. Come on. Now you're already condemned to hell anyway. You never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, all right? So what more can I say? But then he goes on to Rome. I don't know what happened between him and Pope, but you're dealing with the Pope. You come in on his terms. You don't come in on your terms. The Pope needs to be brought down a few steps. And we talked about that last week when we talked about Church Thyatira. And he will be brought down. There's no question about it. The Roman system will be judged, period. We don't need to be catering to it. But for right now, what they're going to be doing is they're going to try to use the Pope to create the two-state solution. The Vatican already owns a lot of land in Jerusalem. So with the Vatican owning that land, there's going to be some major issues in Jerusalem. So, well, yes, that said, I'm going to, I forgot to drag my Bible over here, so give me just one second here. I'm going to grab my Bible over here, and we're going to dive into the Church of Sardis. All right. By the way, last week I did not mention what book of the Bible, what book of Paul's went with Thyatira. Remember, Pergamos was 1st, 2nd Corinthians. Thyatira was Galatians. You foolish Galatians. Yeah. If anybody brings you a gospel other than what we teach, let him be accursed. That church is accursed, okay? So Galatians. Like everything else, what the Spirit says to the churches, says churches. Now, let's go back. As we dive into this, let's go back to the first verse of Revelation chapter 2. So I want to read that again just to get that in your mind. And unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his hand and walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. All seven of these churches belong to Jesus. Period. We're not going to call one church a cult. No, they're all churches, assemblies of Jesus Christ. Some of them have problems, and they're going to be dealt with, as we talked about last week with Thyatira. They all seven belong to him. So we're going to tackle the Church of Sardis today. To the Church of Sardis write, these things saith he, the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know that. That thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Sardis means the called out ones. Remember last week in dealing with the church at Thyatira? Come out of her, my people. Well, who came out of the church, the Roman Catholic Church first? It was the Church of Sardis. The Reformation, they came out of the Roman Catholic Church. Now, the biggest problem with that, and we'll talk about a little more next week, and this is they didn't jump far enough away. They brought all the rituals with them. The Mass. No, they didn't call it Mass. They did something else with it. They didn't call it transubstantiation, which the perpetual sacrifice, that's not happening. But they're still doing the motions. fact, there's in a lot of the Reformed churches, if you were to go to a Presbyterian church, a Lutheran church, Episcopalian church, Anglican church, Dutch Reformed church, there's a lot of ritual. Thou, according one place in Scripture says, you have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. There's form, there's ritual. In fact, Hank Hanegraaff, part of his problem was he went the wrong direction and he started joining this group. And he started talking about how comfortable it was to have all this formality to your church. I don't doubt that having formality doesn't help. Having a ritual in how you do your service helps. Having a ritual in how I do my radio show helps. Because I know at this time I do this, at that time I do this, at this time I do that. In fact, one of the things that was shown in their mock radio station was they had several stacks of the 45 LPs, or 45, not LPs, but the 45 records. Y'all remember those. Those are those little Frisbees, you know, with a big hole in the middle, whatever. Those are what they used to play all the time on the radio. And they had a little clock there showing you, played a song with a green dot at this time, a song with a yellow dot at that time, a song with a blue dot at this time. And at this time we do the news, at this time we do a commercial, and it showed it all the way around the clock. There was a ritual in how they did it. If you fell off the ritual when you were doing DJing, all of a sudden it became 12 o'clock straight up and you can't do the news. So you got to bring in the news off the satellite a lot of times. And if you're not ready for that, you know, in fact, a lot of times on talk shows, they talk about a hard break. We've got a hard break coming on. In other words, we've got to stop at this time because we're going to go to a commercial at that time and it's not our control. Sometimes they just go right through and, you know, we're going to take out that commercial. Yeah, we lose money because we don't play the commercial. But hey, what we got to say is more important. Okay. But this time we have to take a commercial. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. The stations need that commercial time. All right. We've got to play the news at that time. You got to be on that ritual if you're going to do it. Be watchful and strengthen the things that we remain, which are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Ooh, okay. Strengthen that which remains. If you go to these churches, there is some good strength in there. I know we have, if you listen to Bot Radio Network, there's a couple of really good Presbyterian preachers on there. Think about Alex Trebek and the older guy, R.C. Sproul. There's some pretty good stuff they have. Now, they're wrong in a lot of areas, but they got some pretty good stuff. I love listening to their show because where we can agree, we can agree. And they don't spend a lot of time dealing with the areas we disagree. They spend most of their time dealing with Scripture. Okay, and there's some good stuff in there. Strengthen that which remains. You got to support that. If they're preaching the Word of God, you got to support it. Preaching the Word of God, support. But we got to strengthen that part. If they have any, strengthen it. Most of these churches are dead as a doornail. I mean, I can't think of anything more dead than a downtown First Presbyterian or First Episcopalian church. Those things are dead as a doornail. First Methodist, yeah. Oh, you have a name. Yeah, you got a name. You're the biggest name in town. you're dead. Be watchful and strange things remain which are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. Okay. What do they have to do? They got to go back to the beginning. What did they receive? How did Luther escape the Catholic Church? Let me tell you how they did. And this is going to relate back to what book of the Bible is for, what book of Paul goes for them. Ready for the clue? You already know what it is. Romans 1:18. For in the scripture, I've got versions of it going through my head. So let's read it. Go back here to Romans chapter 1. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Verse 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation for everyone who believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. That is what they got to go back to. If you're in that church, you've got to go back to Romans. In fact, I'm teaching the book of Romans on Sunday nights in my church. This is a critical book. It is the most theologically in-depth book. The gospel is presented more clearly in the book of Romans than any other place. It is not a book that only the big theologians should deal with in church. No, I'm teaching it, okay? I'm not a big theologian. I almost got my minor in Bible when I was in college. I should have gone ahead and done it. But the one course I lacked in getting a minor in Bible was Romans. I had New Testament lit. I had Old Testament lit. I had Doctrine. I knew. I had taken Analytica. Took the Pentateuch. I think we'll go back and look at Genesis when I'm done with this. The one course I needed to complete it was the book of Romans. So, all right, we don't have a lot of time left here. We got to get through this. All right. Thou hast a few names in Sardis which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Verse 3, most important one. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I shall come upon thee like a thief, and thou shalt not know the hour for which I come upon thee. Most of these people teach preterist view. In other words, they're not watching. It already happened. We don't need to pay attention. You got to pay attention. There's a reward for those who eagerly wait the return of Christ, okay? I'm going to come upon you like a thief. In fact, every other place I have read in the Bible that talks about coming upon the earth as a thief, it is toward the unbelieving. See, God is going to come and snatch his people out like a thief. Now, if you know the story of how Sardis was taken by Alexander the Great, we've got to go back to Alexander the Great, okay? Alexander the Great came upon this city. It's on a cliff. And he couldn't figure out how to scale that wall and defeat him. Well, he put out a reward for whatever soldier could come up with how to do it. Well, one day, one of the soldiers up on the wall drops an object, and it comes all the way down to the bottom. And the soldier sits there and watches it. How is he going to get it back? Next thing you know, somebody's coming out of a cave, the bottom of the cliff, grabs the object, goes back in the cave, and disappears. And next thing you know, he's back on top of the wall. Idea. So that night, Alexander the Great leads his army into the cave. They find the staircase up to the top of the wall and take the city like a thief in the night. I'm going to come upon you like a thief. Thus, a few names of Sardis have not defiled thy garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, he shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before the Father and before angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. But walk in white. What's that mean? They're cleansed. They are cleansed. Okay? See, there's saved people in that church too. Just because it's a dead church doesn't mean there's not people that are saved. There's some real... In fact, you go into some of these churches, there's some old godly woman sitting in the back who's just back there praying that church will be revived. She's a prayer warrior. She's going to walk in white. There's not many of them. So with that, hopefully we'll see you guys next time, either here, there, or in the air.
Life.